Welcome everyone to the Sister Stories podcast. The aim of this podcast is to marvel at God's sovereignty over each of our lives as women and to encourage one another by sharing our stories. My name is Sophie and today I'm joined by Finn.
Hi Sophie.
Hi, welcome. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
My name's Finn. I am married to Paul. He's an elder at the church and I have three children who are ages almost 13, 9, wow, and 3, almost wow. 4.
I can't believe he's almost 13 already. Great. So we're going to talk about your walk with Christ, but if we start with your family and your family background, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm from a family, quite a large family, although there are larger, but I'm one of five kids. Mm. So I've got two older brothers. And then I've got two sisters who are the same age as me, so I'm a triplet. So there's, wow, three girls, and we were born pretty early. We were born at 28 weeks.
Wow.
But we all survived being born many years ago at that age, and yeah, so and here we all are today. So
that's great.
Big family. It was a great thing to grow up in a big family.
Mm. Where did you grow up?
So we grew up in London. Actually, we grew up all over the South, really. We moved around a bit. So we spent some time in Kent, spent some time in Norfolk, in Norwich. And then when we were 11 or 12, just before we started high school, we moved to a place called Wallington, which is near Croydon.
Right, okay.
In London. So that's where we did the rest of our childhood.
Yeah. So were your parents believers when you were are they believers or?
So my parents were raised Catholics, but I think it's fair to say they didn't have the best experience, both in Catholic and quite strict Christian schools growing up, and for various reasons, I think they weren't showing much Christian love. Mm. I'm not sure that they didn't see much in the people that they met that warmed them to Christian things.
Yeah.
So while we were all raised very much sort of secular, you can believe whatever you want to believe, look into whatever you like. It's all good. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of how we were raised. I don't think they weren't particularly atheists. My parents aren't particularly atheists. I suppose they were just relaxed about the things, anything we wanted to look into.
Did you go to church as a child or not really?
No, we didn't go to church. When my sisters and I were about 15-16, we started going to a youth club which was run by a local Baptist church. I think that's the closest that we came to going to church, so we would occasionally go to that church if they had a special event. And we would occasionally, there'd be like a youth weekend away, but it wasn't full on Bible. It was it was very much going to play games, have fun with our friends. So it wasn't, the main point of the youth club wasn't, so it wasn't as it was more friendship evangelism than strict evangelism. So I probably would have heard the gospel, I'm sure, at one of the church events or at a church service, but I don't remember hearing it.
So how did you hear the gospel then? What happened later on? And
good question. So I went through my life really not really hearing the gospel, or again, if I'd heard it, I was blinded to the truth of it. And when I got to around the time I got to uni, a friend of mine who I used to be in a band with, he became a Christian. He was from a Christian home and he became a Christian. So I was kind of aware that, you know, I knew someone that had turned to Christ. And then I was very good friends with Paul, who's now my husband, who wasn't a Christian. But again, he was from a Christian home. So, and he was a kind of a bit different, I think, because he'd been raised in a home that was a Christian home. He respected people, and I think he did treat people in a way that his parents' faith had rubbed off on him and how he treated people. But he wasn't a Christian. But he became a Christian. He did some one-to-ones with someone who was at Cornerstone at the time,
mm.
and they looked through Raymond's, and he realised he was a sinner, and he trusted in Christ, and he so he became a Christian while we were friends at university.
Right.
So that was when I first really became aware of Christian things, and he would talk a bit more about being a Christian, or how amazing God was, and why he was making choices in his life that,
mm-hmm.
you know, most of us weren't making because we didn't yeah. see the point.
Of course, yeah.
So that was really my first really thinking about, someone believing in God and that affecting their life was around this time at university. Mm.
Yeah.
And then we were very good friends, and we ended up dating
mm-hmm.
for about a week and a half. And he dumped me, basically.
Yeah.
So, so probably one of my biggest Christian witnesses to Christianity in life was being dumped.
Mm.
Because he knew we weren't going in the same direction.
Yeah.
And he had some, you know, good Christian friends who said, listen, it's not helpful for you or her. So that was a massive witness to me, because he'd been evangelizing me and he'd given me books to read and he said all kinds of things. He'd definitely explained the gospel to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, I had my boyfriend, I wasn't interested. I had what I wanted and I was like, that's nice for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big witness, and that was a big pointer to me in terms of, wow, God is really important to him.
Mm, yeah.
So much so that I've been dumped. I'm only saying that for comic effect, really. Sorry.
No,
he was very
yeah.
kind.
Yeah.
And so that was a big pointer to look into Christian things. And I had Christian friends, as I said, and other people that weren't Christians, actually, that said, well, look into what it is that he believes. You know,
yeah,
what's the harm in what's the harm in that sort of thing? And I think, stop me if you want to ask a question.
No, carry on.
I think also, in God's kindness, I was able to know that I wasn't going to win an argument.
Mm.
You know, some of my friends or family were quite angry, like, how dare he? But I think there was a part of me that knew this isn't a battle you can win, as in you're not going to be able to talk him round here.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about a mighty God. So
yes.
you're probably not going to convince him otherwise.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite wise, isn't it? I mean, in a sense, yeah, it's good to have these open conversations and just go back and forth with arguments, but not feel like you're going to just go in and win necessarily.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, that's helpful, isn't it? Yeah. So did you look into things a bit more?
I did. There was also a Christian at my work. It's funny when you think through all different threads. There was a security guard at my work,
mm-hmm.
and he was a Christian. I remember saying to him, oh, you know, you don't need the Bible to know about God. And I remember talking with him and sort of vaguely arguing with him, and he would sort of say, no, the Bible's God's word, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't want him to think that I was suddenly going to become a Christian and everything was going to be rosy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really talking to him too much about it. So I did read the books that he'd bought me, and I listened to a lot of sermons online. So I am passionate about, we should have sermons online. This was way back when.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't as popular as it is now. Not every church did, but Co-Mission did. And they had lots of sermons on their website, and I listened to probably every sermon from, maybe not every sermon, but from all the different churches. And if they had a title that I liked, Why Would God Allow Suffering, or X, Y, Z, I would go through and listen to all of these different sermons by different pastors on the Co-Mission network. Back then there was one website, and you could listen to all the different pastors and all the different churches on that one website.
That's good.
So I did a lot of that, and I bought a Bible and I started reading it and all things like this to look into what Christians believe and, you know, what do other people believe and what did I think of that. So that was kind of my starting out in looking into Christian things.
Yeah. What did you think about it at the time? Do you remember me?
It was a journey. I think the first few things that hit me were sin in the world, was really the first thing that I could read and hear about and look at the world and think, I can see that. And then myself, but I was a little less, it took a bit longer to think that about myself, but just to see in the world what sin had done and that sin was in the world. I think that was the first thing that I really thought, yeah, I can see what God's storyline is. I can see it, you know, the theology of that, if you like, as I look around. It was quite clear to me. I think that was the first one. And also I think the witness of Christians that there was something different about how they lived and how they treated people, and the joy that they had and the confidence that they had as well. And that was good. That doesn't sound very theological, but just that they, but the witness of their joy and how they treated others, I think.
Yeah, and that is quite a deep thing, isn't it? That you can't fake that.
You can't fake it.
It's something that naturally just comes out of Christians almost. I had the same experience, really. First time I met Christians, I was like, why are they nice to me? They don't know me. They have no interest in... They won't gain anything from this relationship, you know what I mean? And I can just see it. So, yeah, I think it's very common, isn't it, to see that, yeah. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit how you actually did come to faith eventually?
Yeah, I'd say it wasn't an immediate... It wasn't one moment.
No.
I did a lot of investigating, as I said, listening to a lot of things, and then I remember Paul invited a few of us to some evangelistic events, which back then were themed around the Da Vinci Code, sort of revealing my age here. And they were all based around, the talks were, I can't remember exactly what they were called. Oh, I think it was called Cracking the Code. And so these were a set of three evangelistic talks based on Dan Brown's books. They weren't really based on Dan Brown's books, but... Yeah, they were to get people in that are reading this and that had all of these questions about, is the Bible really true, and all of the random stuff that he says in his books when he's doing his mysteries, Dan Brown's doing his mysteries. So I went to those, and I do remember thinking really being ready to hear what they had to say. So those were quite key. I remember sitting in one of those and having someone talk to me and ask me why I was there, and I said I was looking into things, and I remember him saying, so what do you think? Is this for you? And I think, and I remember saying something like, yeah, I think so. So it was a time where I was thinking through what I'd heard, and then actually I remember, I think it might have been the last one, Pete Woodcock spoke, and he spoke about Lazarus and the rich man.
Yeah.
And he spoke about how Lazarus means God is my help. And he was saying, you know, what is your help? Is it the money in your life? Is it, what's the thing that you're relying on? Is it, I don't know what else he might have said.
Yeah.
And I do remember coming out of that talk thinking, I do want God as my help. But I think there was a point where I thought, I still have questions about various things, but that I knew that I had to make a decision either way, so I wouldn't pinpoint it to an exact moment, but there was a point where I thought, I loved hearing the gospel, and that was attractive to me, and that I could have my sins forgiven. There were still things that I had questions about,
of course.
And I think that you have to go through that. Sometimes you have to go through a process of understanding that it's okay to have questions about things. Don't let that put you off coming to Jesus, if that makes sense.
Exactly, because you will continue to grow anyway. And even now, you might not think you've got questions, but then you hear something in a sermon and you think, actually, I didn't know that, or I have questions about that, or, you know, so it just carries on anyway. And there's no... I mean, we can't fully understand what God is like anyway, so there's always going to be questions.
So there was a point where I decided, this is for me. I have questions still, but I loved hearing the gospel, and I wanted that forgiveness. It was just a beautiful story to me. So I did start going to church, and around the time that I started going to church was around the time that I decided to follow follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Cornerstone. It was a bit random. I went to a church near where I was living at the time because I was living at home and commuting into university.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started going to a church there, which in hindsight wasn't a great... There were some lovely Christians there, but it wasn't a church where the Bible was taught well. And so God was very kind in keeping me because it wasn't great, but it was what it was.
Yeah,
it was an interesting time. When I look back, I often think how I'm not sure if I'm going to phrase this right.
It's okay.
I couldn't understand why I preferred the sermons at Cornerstone to the sermons at the church that I was attending.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, it was because the Bible was being preached clearly, and I think the Holy Spirit in me was for that. And when I sat in the church that I was attending at the time, it left me a bit cold because it wasn't, they weren't really preaching the Bible. It was kind of opinion. But I was a baby Christian.
Yeah, and you need to be fed at that time. You do. Always, but at this time in particular.
Yeah. So I see it as God's kindness that obviously I was still kind of connected to Cornerstone and to Co-Mission. Mm. And I think because I'd heard all of those sermons and that I was still listening and interacting with people that knew the Bible well, that kept me, even though I was in a church situation where actually it wasn't very healthy for a new Christian to grow and to know God well. And there were a lot of things that were a bit dodgy. Again, it's hard to say that, but also acknowledge there were lovely Christians there. And so I'm really grateful to God that he kept me going and that he also orchestrated it that I didn't end up there long term.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. And he can use anything to help us grow, even if it's not the best teaching or, you know, it can still keep you going, at least for a little while in this case, for example. But yeah,
it taught me a bit about knowing your Bible, and also that a bit like in I can't remember which book that Paul says don't let people despise you because you are young.
Timothy
that knowing the truth of God's word, it doesn't you don't have to be older. It taught me a lot going in there as someone who had been really reading their Bible a lot because they were looking into Christian things.
Yeah.
There were lots of questions about things people said or did that I thought, okay, that I don't know how you've got there because I'd been reading my Bible, even as a baby Christian.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the confidence to say anything because...
No, of course, yeah. And it's tricky, isn't it, with relationships and everything, yeah. And that's great. So then you came to Cornerstone and, yeah.
So eventually, after it was clear that I had become a Christian, and after a little time, Paul and I did end up going out and getting engaged and eventually getting married. There's a little bit more to it that. But and so then we settled at Cornerstone.
Mm.
So we've been here. We'll have been married 17 years in November. So. Wow. I've been here a little while.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, that's great. If we come to perhaps closer times, can you tell us a little bit about what God has taught you in the last few years or recently?
I think something that I've said to my brother when he's asked me recently over the last few years, what have you learned?
Mm.
I think he's taught me the same things again.
Mm.
So part of what I love is when I hear the gospel again, I think, I so love this. Mm.
Yes.
So I think I've learned that it's great. The gospel is great. And I'm still learning the same old story. Tell me the old story. So I think God is always reminding me that... that he sent his son for me. So yes. I feel like I'm always the person in the Bible study that goes, it's about Jesus and that he came and he died and he rose again. And that someone's having a long theological conversation. I'm like, I don't think it's about that. I think he has taught me that. I think he has taught me that over and over again. I think he's taught me almost, you know, the gospel. If you take someone through, like, you're trying to explain the gospel clearly to someone, I think I get taught that over and over again, that God made the world and that I am a sinner, but that he loves me and sent Christ, and that there's a place for me because of Christ. So I think I get taught the same thing again.
Yeah.
It's not you being simple, or maybe it's that it's good to be simple. It's good to be a simple Christian.
Yeah.
And I love debating theology and having conversations about things like that, but I always come back to the gospel that I heard.
Yeah.
I think that's that keeps me going.
Yeah. And that's really important, isn't it? Because if you don't have that, and in the same way as when you were a young Christian, you just got stuck in and just thought, okay, I've got to make that decision and get going.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, really. Because you could spend hours and hours looking at all kinds of questions, but actually, not that they're bad, but if you don't know the gospel, you're not saved. That's it. End of story. So, you know, that if you don't, sorry, not just know, obviously, if you haven't accepted Christ as your saviour. But that's the most important thing. And then obviously we can explore all these other questions, which are wonderful and so interesting. But yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, theology is important. I think knowing God is important. And actually during COVID, I think it was pretty tough, but just because we were all hooked up together and all of the things that were hard about COVID. But I remember saying to Paul or someone else that even just knowing God and knowing the story of the Bible and knowing where we are in history and knowing about him and knowing his character meant that even though it was hard, there's an anchor to your life. I think faith brings it's the foundation of my life. And so there are things that come up where you think, oh gosh, this is really hard. But sometimes it's not even a said thing. It's just a knowledge that you can rely on.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
you're not always saying it, but there's a solid ground to stand on if you know Jesus that carries you through some things that others might be might not know what to think about it. It's not to say it's always easy.
No, of course, yeah. But I think as you described earlier of seeing Christians who have that joy, then that's where it comes from, doesn't it? You have that steadiness from the gospel and you have that anchor. And wherever life throws at you, even if it might be really difficult and you might really struggle, you have that foundation that is there. So, and then it's really compelling to people around you sometimes. yeah, that's great. I wonder actually what your family's response is to your faith, and we didn't ask that earlier, but
great question. The short answer is I don't really know.
Okay.
Because I had a great upbringing. I love my family. None of them are Christians now. I think it depends which member of my family. I was kind of shy telling them. I think I thought, they're just going to think that she's converted so that she can go back out with her boyfriend. And they probably did think that, and they may well have thought that. I hope they've seen my life since and changed their minds.
I'm sure they have.
Having said that, Christ does say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me.
Yes.
And I think most of my family would find that exclusivity really off-putting. And probably because of the values that I now hold, whether that be being pro-life and babies in the womb and all sorts of things, they would find those views quite hard. So they don't ever come out, and they're mostly pretty polite about my faith. But I think it probably has been quite difficult for them. And I think probably in a funny way, they probably mourn who I was. Even though I'm still the same, I'm different.
Yes.
So I think that might have been it's quite a long time now, but that might have been a thing they might think. But it's one of those questions that's, or answers that's left unsaid, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe if you meet them, you can ask them.
We'll see.
That'd be a scary thought.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for that. And to finish with, what advice would you give to a younger Christian? You've shared a lot of advice already.
Oh, wow.
But
yeah. Find a good church. Find a church where the Bible is taught and where people are in community with one another. I think it's so key. A church where the Bible is taught well. A church where people are not just, but they're doing ministry together. Because they believe in what they've heard and they want to live it out. And they want to encourage each other to live it out.
Yeah.
And it's not just a club. I think that's so key. And you see that again and again in the Bible, that we're not saved to be Christians on our own. So that's my number one.
Yeah, that's great. That's very good advice. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Finn.
Thanks, Sophie.
And thank you for listening, everyone. That's all for today's episode of Sister Stories. But join us again next time.